The chief man and our fathers, that they should make them know to their children. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. That they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hope in right, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God.
Okay, so in verse 7, you know, the importance of this is teaching our children that they might set their hope. When we think about Daniel, who was a young man going into captivity, how does his upbringing, how did his parents do? How did his mentors do? And even that, the mentors that we're going to be talking about that came before him, as they were young, how did they learn? How were they respectful to the truth? You know, that last verse is pretty negative. It's a negative connotation here on the generation that didn't pay attention to what God had to say, and they weren't steadfast. You know, I don't want your next generation. I want the generation to be like that. It's not steadfast. Well, Daniel, we know, very steadfast, right? The first introduction is pretty young age. He was steadfast. So apparently, some of this instruction of raising a child at a very early age and piercing them with the truth, getting that right down in there, it's very, very important to see that it had its positive effects. We know that principle was true with Abraham, right? As far as raising children, what did the Lord say about him? Two angels that were on the way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, that Abraham. What did he say about him? He said, I know Abraham. Speaking for God. What do you know about it? That he will raise his children right. And that's in Genesis chapter 18, 9. He says, I know that. You know, he will keep his children in the way. Very positive thing if you could think about those verses. Here's a man, God's estimation, who's following exactly this principle that I suggest we need to be very careful that we do to ourselves and to our young children. Raise them up right. We know in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, tells us, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up and rear them to maturity in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we know we have plenty of examples of that being the case. Timothy is a real good example of that, isn't he? That we know it is, Paul even records this of him in 2 Timothy, verses 3 through 3, verse 15. Of Timothy, it says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. From a child, Timothy, you knew the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise in salvation. And we know, where do you get that learning from? College? Everything? Parents. His mother, it's from his grandmother. I think we have evidence that the principle of truth that began with Daniel long before he entered into Babylon, you know, that he was an upstanding, what we would say, a believer in Christendom, want to use that word, maybe not quite applicable, but he was a very faithful man when we firstly introduced him. So it started at a very young age, no doubt. We can gain insight by discerning how old Daniel was when he was first introduced to him. Next reader, please. Let's start in Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, please. I saw someone over here hold their hand up.
Would you read 1 through 4, please? Daniel 1, 1 through 4. 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Babylon, and Jerusalem at the siege. The Lord will give Jehoiakim, king of Judah, like his command, part of the house of God, which he carried in the land of Jair, the house of his God. He brought the vessels into the treasure house with God. And the king said unto Asaphanaz, the master of the eunuch, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. And whom they might teach the learning of the Chaldeans.
Okay, we're gonna really delve into this later on throughout the week. But we want to kind of set the frame, time frame, right off in verse 1. It tells us that in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, this all started to take place. Daniel was taken. And, you know, just some points that you're going to see there. He was of the seed royal, he was the, you know, of Judah, the tribe of Judah. Again, we're going to really kind of look at some of this a little bit more in detail as we go on. So I think Andrew was telling us, you know, there's things that we need to do to try to help keep our minds maybe charged with things like that. Everybody has their own method, but we do need to look at the kings of Judah, the last few kings of Judah, to try to set the time frame of Daniel. You know, he says he was a child. We don't think he was 4, 5, or 6 years old because of the context of the things that go on immediately after that. You know, he was a young man. That word can either be a young baby child, but it also can be more like, you know, Isaac or any of these other older individuals that are still what we would, in the Hebrew anyway, we use that as a child. So he was older than that. And again, let's look back at the first kings of, fresh our minds anyway, the kings of Judah. And up on the chart there, you see the age at which they started to reign, the kings, and you know how long they really reigned. Hezekiah 25, when he started, he reigned for 29 years, and Manasseh reigned 55 years, Ammon 22 years, Josiah, he reigned for 31 years, Jehoash reigned a quarter of a year, 3 months, Jehoiakim 11 years, Jehoiakim 3 months, 10 days, very specific. And then Zedekiah was 11 years. Now, remember, Andrew said something excluding, well, let's get our crayons out. We're going to color these. What color is Hezekiah?
Green.
Okay. Manasseh? Okay. We learned the principle of forgiveness with Manasseh, right? God is able to forgive. Did that change any of the reign of Manasseh? Red. Ammon. Jehoahaz. Oh, did I skip someone? Josiah. Rest up. Okay, we get it. So we're going to begin, since it tells us that it was in the third year of Jehoiakim, Jehoahaz, you know, if we look again back at our reading, our investigation really needs to start with Jehoiakim. And many have suggested age of Daniel was a young lad in his mid-teens. And I this is speculation. We don't know. Did happen. The fact that it did happen, but some have said, and I would agree, that he was like a mid-teenager when he was taken into captivity. And if so, you can apprehend that the time was early development years and what time frame that fell into when this took place. First, we know, let's ask the question, how old was Daniel? We really don't know. We're not given that information. In reality, we're not giving any indication to who his parents, mother and his father were, except we know that he was of the royal family. As far as his age, he, as I said before, he was not a child, as the world used that. Brother Mansfield, if you read what he has to say, and others have said this as well. Again, I would agree with this. This is pretty close, not being pinpoint, but he would suggest that he was about 17 years old when he was taken in captivity. And does anybody kind of nod? Have you ever heard what you think? I mean, do you think about it? That's what Andrew said. Do you think about what it says? You know, he was a child. You know, think about what are your thoughts? How old do you think he was? Well, we know from Daniel 1 that he was taken in the third year of Jehoiakim. So we can look up there and see where that is. And if he was about 17 years old, possibly, that's right. Maybe we can kind of work up with an equation as to verify that that's, you know, where Daniel started from. And there's the equation for it. You take 31 and take away 18, you add a quarter, you add a three. with 16 and a quarter, that's his age. Now, how do we know that? How am I coming to that? Okay, so in the 18th year, we know we're going to look at this. Josiah, very faithful. I really like when we said he was green, like how green? This bowl, right? It was really green. In the 18th year, a very, very, very important year, we study Josiah and his reign. He established the covenant, which he reaffirmed his commitment to serving God, and he made everyone else commit to that. It was a year, the 18th year of Joash, was a year of covenant, reaffirming, establishing a covenant with the nation of Israel. It's a very important year. So if we start with that 18th year of Josiah's reign, we know he reigned for 31 years, and you can prove that through the scripture. So if you subtract the 18 from 31, that's how we come up with, okay, there's 13 years. The next king, Jehoahaz, reigned for a quarter year, which gives you 13 and a quarter. And then we're told in Daniel 1, which Tim read to us, in the third year, he was taken to Jehoiakim's reign. So add three more years to that. That brings us up to 16 and a quarter. That's just a potential. Not a big part of this, but it seems like that would work out. If this 18th year was of serious importance and maybe something going on at that time. Leave that as it is. Again, some of this is kind of speculation, but anyway, it happened. Daniel was a young man at one point in time, and he was developed in a very special way. So we need to think about realistically. Let's look at what may have gone on. Well, if this time frame, Daniel might be correct, can we imagine Daniel's parents? He had a mother and father. What was going on? Can we imagine their parents? If it was in this 18th year of a very good king's reign, in a midst of some very bad kings that came right before him, and certainly a slew of bad kings that came after him, which we know living in the day, you wouldn't know what's coming after. But can you imagine faithful parents seeing Josiah's judgments that we're going to talk about on cleaning up Judah, getting rid of all of the nonsense and false doctrine that was going on? He was a very strong individual for the Lord. And their parents would have seen all of this false worship being taken away. Maybe they agreed with it. Great. This is what we want to see. This Daniel's parents may have seen that, you know, if he was contemporary with that time. And they had a child born, a good Jewish boy is born. What a good name to give him. The judgments of God. We see what's going on in Josiah in our day and age. The judgments of God. So it's a possibility. Just think about it. It just kind of makes things come alive maybe a little bit. They call his name Daniel. He was born during those days. So, as we've already said, we really want to focus on Josiah as far as a mentor. Again, things that help realize where we are in history. This chart right here, I know it's really hard to see, but I've got that. And is everybody familiar with that? I mean, this is kind of like a Bible insert. Y'all have seen that before? You can get it at the Christopher books, but it's just a simple Bible chart to show you the time frame of who was with what and when. And you can see up here in the dark green, you can see Daniel. It shows where he started and where he left two captivity of Judah. It's nice to have some kind of visuals, I think, to help keep us in mind where we are. All right, so we want to talk about, since we said our first thing is, who was a mentor? Who may have been instrumental in helping influence Daniel on the right ways, besides just his parents? And again, these are examples that we need to take for ourselves. What can we do to help our children continue the ecclesia of time with to go on? This is a very important thing. If our children don't accept the truth and don't come into the truth, and we have no next generation, we're in trouble. Okay, so we want to look at Josiah. And these are some of the things that I think probably a a real whirlwind. I hope y'all are somewhat familiar with the man Josiah, what he did, how important, because this is what's really, to me, vital. You know, Daniel is very likely born sometime in this man's life. What was going on? What kind of an individual was he? Was the Lord preparing this man to prepare a man, Daniel, who was very instrumental in many things that the Lord had him do? I haven't even said anything about Daniel, how blessed he was to receive these great bookends of prophecy. You know, that we had Daniel, the Old Testament gives us the continuous historic interpretation of from then to the kingdom with Paul and Patmos with the revelation from Christ, saying the very same thing. Some more details about the same information. This two book, and this man is very important in relation to prophecy. So we always, Christian audience, Daniel, very important. Well, we see the first thing, and overhead here is the verses, what you can look those up, that Josiah was 80 years old, was a very young individual when he became king. And we're told that his mother's name is Jedidah, which is interesting, it's the same root as David, which means also beloved. So his mother's name, that's the only thing we do know about King Josiah, as far as his, you know, his followers too. Second point was, what was God's estimation of this young boy, this young man, Josiah? And again, some very parallel things that we hope to see and include in Daniel, and maybe in our own lives, want to try to instill this in our families. What was God's estimation of him at a very young age? Well, it says that he walked not after wrong ways, but he walked in a very straight way, not to the left. This is what was recorded right off the bat, Josiah. Not to the left, not to the right, young man, but he walked in all the ways after his father. Who was his father? Ammon. What was Ammon? What color? Scarlet, right? It says he walked after his father, David. Walked after David. Color? No doubt. So, very early estimation of this young man. He walked straightly after principles and faith of David. Next thing we find of Josiah at age 16 years old, this would have been in the 8th year of his reign. And we're not even saying anything about that Josiah had any help ruling over Judah, the assassination of his father and all, everybody else. 8 years old to rule a kingdom. 8 year old, do that.
No.
I mean, he obviously had some spiritual help because his whole reign was good. So, I mean, there was somebody behind the scenes with him as well working. 8 years, he, in the 8th year of his reign, we're told that he made a personal commitment. He'd been raised in the truth. It's very clear because his first indications, he walked very much after David, his father, left to the right. And it says that when he was 16 years old, at year 8 of his reign, he made a personal commitment to seek after Yahweh. In the Chronicle account, we look at that in the references there. It says that he began to seek after the Lord for himself. And to begin, and I'm, you know, some people, I think it enhances when we use other things like in course. Look at some of the words, and to begin is like a wedge. So Josiah, again, when you use a wedge, what's it do? It starts to open up whatever you're driving in that piece of wood, you know, you open it up so that I can get in there and search out some more. And that's what that word's interesting. It just helps us learn a little bit more. He began to see after the Lord. And this is for himself. He obviously had sought after the Lord before. He was considered very faithful at a young age. But at age 16, very important age in young boys' lives, he started to make this personal commitment himself. Fourth thing is in the 12th year of his reign, so now he is 20 years old, Josiah. He begins in Judah, in Jerusalem. He began to destroy all of the physical things that had to do with false worship. He was getting rid of these physical things that were there, the groves, the carved images, the molten images. So he made dust of them, grinds them up, and strows it all over, scatters it all over the graves of those that had been dedicated to Baal worship. He actually burnt the priest's bones upon those very altars there in Jerusalem. He also tells us that he did the same thing in the neighborhood of Judea, of Judah, in Manasseh and Ephraim, Simeon, and Naphtali, very close country. So he didn't just do it there as king. He was cleaning up the whole area, beginning his cleanup. Now, this next thing is a very, very, very busy year in Josiah's life. It's in the 18th year of his reign, and this is where we want to really focus on. He was 26 years old at this age, and as I said, very important, and this is possibly the year, I'm going to put that up, this is possibly the year that Daniel was born, in the 18th year of his reign. We know that he ordered a renovation of the Solomon's temple that had been massacred and destroyed, and all these false worship had been introduced by, you know, Manasseh. Ammon continued that, so it was in really bad disrepair. So he institutes and requires, he gives a decree to repair the temple and to get rid of all those things that had been brought into it, which is just mind-blowing to me that that is really what was taking place there. No expense spared, it's just take care of it. And it's really interesting, all the workers that were working with were very paid, you know, like, you didn't have to check their time card. Whenever you're going out, they wouldn't fake it. You know, if there was needed for lumber, there was anywhere. This indicates that there was, everybody was working very cohesively on the same page, wanting to do the right thing, very diligent in the work. While in the cleanup of the temple, we find out that Hilkiah, who was the high priest, he finds back in some corner in a recess and closet, don't know where, but back in the recesses of the temple during this repair, they had to close it up because they needed something, one of their Baal worships or something. But anyway, this is a little find in there. But he finds a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And everything that I've ever read on this, probably that this was the book that Moses wrote. Not to say that it hadn't been written before, after that, and from the time on. This was the original. Like, this would be like, here's a Thomas Williams book, you know, with this name, and that's really bringing it down low. But what I'm saying, you know, it had some real value. This was the book that Moses had scribed from the Lord that he finds during that 18th year, during the renovation of the temple. Well, he, Hilkiah gives the book to Shaphan, who was the secretary of the state for Josiah. He takes that book and he brings it to Josiah. He reads certain portions of that book, and it looks like Josiah's face is the color goes out of it. He turns white, basically, when he reads. So obviously he was reading from there the curses. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. This is what God says I'm going to do to you as a nation. Josiah knew very well what had been going on for those things in the nation. He knew that. He was very disturbed, and he wanted to obey the Lord, but he knew that this is what God says. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. Well, Josiah immediately, he gets into gear. He says, we've got to turn to the Lord and find out what can we do about this. This is the seventh point up there. He seeks to inquire of the Lord about, you know, the calamity of, you know, all of these things that his fathers had brought upon the nation and what was reported in that book. And this entourage of individuals that he has turns to Huldah the prophetess. I don't really know why she's the only one there, but she is a prophetess of the Lord. Find out what's really going to happen. What can we do about this? Well, the next point is that Yahweh answers through her with some really bad news. Now, you're kind of like, I'm already started. I'm already getting rid of some of the stuff. You're going to have some really good news. No, he has really bad news. Yeah, it's really going to happen. But you will be taken into captivity. Area will be destroyed, just like Jeremiah said. But you, Josiah, will be spared seeing, witnessing these judgments themselves. Now, the Did he understand that that meant, oh, great, this is not going to happen in my lifetime, or am I going to die early? And we do find out that he dies early. You know, he's cut off at a young age. But anyway, he's not going to witness the destruction himself because of his fidelity to the Lord. He's silent, very, very faithful, really good intentions. Really good intentions that are put into practice. So we see that taking place. Uzziah, the next thing, he commands all the elders, the people, along with the priests and the Levites, both small and great, he gathered to Jerusalem. He read the book of the word. So he reads all of this, which they should have been familiar with anyway. All of the representatives of Israel, of Judah, are there. He reads the book to them, which probably took several hours. I have to say, it's a long time. All of the blessings, all of the cursings that were written in that book to them. And before all those there, and so Josiah, he reads this and tells us that he stands up and he makes a covenant with the Lord to keep Yahweh's commandments, his testimonies, his statutes, everything that's written here in this book. I make a covenant with the Lord that I'm going to do this. And not only does that, he says, I compel, I'm going to make all of y'all stand by this book as well. Everyone here, I want you to commit to this book and to this writing right now. A very big year. We're still in that 18th year. All of this is happening in the 18th year of his reign. It's 11th. He initiates, after that, establishing the covenant. Promise that, yes, we, all that you said, we will do. He indicates even more further intensive purging by taking away all of the abominations of the countries that pertain to the children of Israel and to make them serve Yahweh only. We read of this in 2 Kings, and if we look at that, I don't think we really have time to look at all this. Let's look at, open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 23, and this is one of the places we read about going on in his life. But this was again in the 18th year, that first rain day. And I'm suggesting, let's go to when Daniel was born, all this was going on. Verse 4, you know, he takes out of the temple of the Lord all these vessels that don't belong there, all the rows that had been set there to serve the host of heaven. You know, what are the hosts of heaven? Who are they worshiping? It wasn't Yahweh they're talking about here. He's talking, and he even gets more specific as he's talking about the things that God created. Now they're starting to worship those things as the creator. Verse 5, all the idolatrous priests, you know, these are the Kemarims that were there, those idolatrous priests. He takes all those that were serving Baal, they were the black little priests. You know, I'm sure we're familiar with that a little bit. Then in verse, the last verse 5, it tells us what they worship: sun, moon, planets, the host of heaven. He's tearing all that down. All of these graven images, grinding to powder. This is verse 7. Really, from this is really bad. Right next to the house, he breaks down verse 8, 7. The houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. Here we have prostitution, Sodomites that are going on right there. Women had these hangings that are out there, no doubt, so that the little children that are walking by don't really see what's going on behind the curtain. That's kind of how I'm visualizing this whole thing. Imagine that going, this is next door to the temple. He's tearing all of that down. Again, he just keeps reiterating what he's done. The high places there in the gates, verse 8, he tears that down. In the Valley of Tophet, verse 10, he goes in there and destroys those temples, those altars that were there. And we know that Tophet is where they offered their children fire. And there was also, it's interesting when you look at that, you know, that it was known for drumming, you know, and if you look at the words, the beating of drums, really, it's tied into the word Tophet. Probably these were noises that were used to drown out the sound of their children for being sacrificed, you know, their God. It's very hard to imagine that taking place. This was going on. He's getting rid of this garbage just taking place. These horses in verse 11, they obviously had adopted from the Gentiles. You know, they probably had these chariots that were made very spectacular that They went out every morning to meet the sun. You know, they worship the sun, but he destroys all those chariots, probably the horses as well, the altars. You just go on and on, on through this, breaking down, stamping all of the altars to rubble. And, you know, this is in the 18th year of his reign. So you kind of want to read that over. A lot of information that he is really, really busy in this 18th year. Not only him, but all the men that he's put into store. He's a great mentor. He is really doing God's judgment, right? See, Josiah is at it. He's doing these are the judgments that God wants you to do. He's corrupting things. 12th point on the board. He fulfills the prophecy of 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. We're not going to look at that, but that's where it says, you know, at Bethel, where they had worshiped calf worship, first king of Israel, Jeroboam set it up. You know, the prophecy was that, you know, this is going to be destroyed, and there's going to be a man by the name of Josiah that's going to do this. He's going to burn the bones, and he does it, as a matter of fact. So the passage is up there. He takes care of that. At the appointed time, and again, this is in the 18th year of his reign, this 13th point, he has a Passover in 2 Chronicles 35, 18. It says that this Passover that Josiah keeps, once again, we want to think very, very green, dark green, says that, you know, there was no Passover that was kept in Israel like that one, even to the, from the time of Samuel and gone forth. You know, that this Passover that he had was magnificent, very holy, very dedicated. And everything that he did was, in relation to that, was magnificent by God's record of it here. In the 18th year, all of those things happened in the 18th year, 1 year, this man Josiah. Now, for the next 13 years, we know how long he lived after that. He still works improvements. He abolished his open public idolatry. Now, he's starting to go into his house. He's sending his men out and saying, what's going on in the house? What are you doing over there? And I saw it. Why? And if there's no public Baal worship, he's investigating in the houses. He's really grabbing it in. So that was number 14. The 15th thing is he again here, this is toward the end of his life. We hear the Lord's estimation of him in 2 Kings 23, verse 35, that there was no king like him before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and all his might, according to the law of Moses. And really, how much higher praise can a man get? That's a pretty good thing. This is what we hear about the man Josiah, who is a very faithful man for an intended purpose. Yet in all his effects and in all of his efforts, we find that the children of Israel, we know, did not follow the Lord with all their heart. You know, he compelled them to make a covenant. He made them. He destroyed their groves, their altars, their false worship. But the whole nation as a whole, their heart was not with it. And we can read of that, and we just don't have time to, but it's very good. If you read that, the nation didn't follow after, as a whole, after Josiah's great reforms. I also want to think about there was a whole lot of political things going on at the time of Josiah's reign, right here at this end. There was the Assyrian Empire was going along really strong. The Babylonian Empire was really coming on. The Egyptians were always the trouble going on. As a matter of fact, that was his, he was killed by the Egyptians. The Scythians, which were further north into the west, we don't even think about them coming down, but if you read history and find out what's going on, they made inroads all the way down in the Holy Land. There was a lot of other ancient political empires that were given problems for Josiah at this time. Well, he was killed by Pharaoh Necho in Egypt, at Megiddo. And this was an attempt to save his nation. He was doing the right thing. He was trying to ward off these enemies that were coming in to corrupt Israel, take it over. We know that he was buried in Jerusalem. We know that Jeremiah writes the whole lamentation over this wonderful king's death and the good things that he had to do. Although Jeremiah, we're going to look at some of the passages later, but Jeremiah doesn't mention much of the good. But he does have a lamentation and lamentation about it. The final record is very much like the one that we find in the first record of God, Josiah, and that has it in chapter 35, verse 26 and 27 of the Chronicles. It says the rest of the acts of Josiah and of his goodness, and that's what we want to keep in mind, of his goodness, Josiah's goodness, according to all that was written in the word of the Lord, all his deeds, first and last, all not written in the books of the Chronicles, Israel and Judah. So the good that he did, his goodness, very high remarks of him, for sure. Well, Daniel, as we have suggested, was probably born in the 18th year of Josiah's reign, which was a very, very significant year in Israel's history. It was when Josiah compelled the nation to renew his covenant with Yahweh. Daniel can be described a son of the covenant, for he was born in an environment of reforms instituted by a king in the fulfillment of his times. We have more details that we want to go into tomorrow about Josiah's intended reforms and their positive effects on certain individuals. It didn't have an effect on the whole, but it had an effect on those that had ears that were open and were listening to it. And we see a system. We see a man that was very faithful, Josiah. An example for us. We need to be mentors to children, to young people. We need to take that responsibility. And what did this mentor do? But he surrounded himself with a group of really faithful people. And that's what we want to kind of look at tomorrow. Some of these faithful people that influenced Daniel as a young boy coming up under this time. And, you know, we can't help it. Let's close with Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, which I know in first we're very familiar with. It says, train up a child as the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I think that's true with Josiah. And that's certainly absolutely true with Daniel, although we don't have a lot about the Bible doesn't tell us the details of his early upbringing. He was trained up right, and he never departed from it. So let's stop there tonight, this morning, and we'll go for the next section.